fever, wicked allergies. My eyes are bleeding, my nose is on fire. Boy, we're going to be hearing a lot of this over the next couple months, I'll tell you. So, Rosie on the House is, as usual, trying to stay ahead of the curve and give you the information you need before you need it. We're going to be talking about indoor air quality. But for Marcia in Tucson and all of you with a similar problem, let's visit Marcia, who was calling in just before bottom of the hour break. She has a water noise that's going on a very regular basis. She can pin it down to about the same time about every 4 days. Okay, that's a huge clue. That tells us it has something to do with something that's on a time clock. That can either be a soft water regeneration system. It can be an irrigation clock. It's got to be something that's programmed to recharge, cycle on or off on a very regular basis. Look at your clocks. Look at your water softener. Now, the fact that one of those items, one of those plumbing appliances, is causing an air hammer, and an air hammer is a very, very noisy nuisance in a home. It's actually when a plumbing fixture is being turned off, you're asking this water that is moving down the line to stop and stop instantly. If we've got an overcharged system delivering our cold water to our home above 65 pounds per square inch, we're going to ask that 65 pounds per square inch to stop instantly. Many times when we do, it causes a boomerang or kickback effect, and it rattles the plumbing pipes in our house. It really does sound like someone has a hammer hitting the pipes on our plumbing system. So, Marcia, all of you that may incur the same problem, make sure the pressure being delivered to your house is below 65 PSI. You can do that by simply going to the hardware store, buy a water pressure meter, costs less than $15. You screw it onto the front hose bib of your house. Make sure, if that's where your water comes in, wherever your water comes in your house, there is a hose bib, okay? You want to find that hose bib, screw the pressure valve on, open the hose bib completely all the way, and make sure everything else in the house is turned off. You ought to be reading about 60 to 65 pounds. If you're above that, you need to contact a plumber and put a pressure regulating valve on your house. If you're reading 70, 75, 80, I've heard pressures of 90, 100 plus PSI. That's very hard on your plumbing system. It's very hard on your plumbing fixtures. You need to regulate it. Put a pressure regulator right there at the front of the house and tune it down to about 60, 65 PSI. Now, Marcia, if you're needing additional help in Tucson to sort this out, of course, the certified plumber in Pima County for Rosie on the House is Woods Plumbing. And I'll tell you, the good folks at Culligan of Tucson are excellent water system detectives as well. Either one of those two Rosie certified service providers in the Tucson Pima County area, I know can help you out, Marcia. So appreciate the call. Let's get back to our topic here real quick about indoor air quality. Why? Because in your house, it could very well be 70% more polluted than outside your home. You spend a lot of money on really good windows and caulking up all the outdoor receptacles and the cracks around the doors and the windows like I've been coaching you, encouraging you, and mentoring you to do. So now you've got this stale air inside your home. You've paid to condition it, either cool it in the summer or heat it in the winter. Let's keep it as and control it as much as we can. Maybe. Or maybe not. The longer we circulate the same air inside our home, generally speaking, the more polluted it becomes. Polluted with what? Well, textile fibers are one. Human hair is another.
Nice.
And all the things that cling on to
hair.
That's
special.
How about grains of pollen and sand? Animal hair? Those of you that keep indoor animals really are driving up your are driving down your chance of having really clean air. I'll just tell you that. I don't have anything against animals. I got lots of animals, but I don't have very many inside animals. Breathing in the air in your house, you're breathing in millions of microns of flaking human skin, dead insects,
oh,
food crumbs, lint from clothes and bedding, soil from your shoes, and many of you are sucking in a constant supply of chemicals because you keep paint and acetone and paint thinner and miscellaneous cleaning and detergents objects right next to your air conditioning unit in the utility closet.
It's a perfect place. It's out of sight.
It's got a nice shelf there that's not taken up by anything else, right? Oh, my goodness. Now, all of this stuff traveling through your air is traveling with little dust mites, and they're critters that feed on all this other stuff that's in your air. This is all inside your home. So I want to talk a little bit about filtration, okay? You can actually keep your air conditioning fan motor turned on constantly, and if you're using the right filter, it'll actually help reduce a lot of this pollutant inside your air. The problem is most of you use the wrong filter. Here's some other things you can do. Do all your cleaning around the house with a HEPA vacuum. If you haven't invested in a HEPA, which is a high efficiency particulate air, high efficient particulate air HEPA filter, you're not doing yourself any cleaning favors at all. If your vacuum isn't a HEPA vacuum, you're basically sucking the dust and the dirt out of your carpet, putting it into the bag that is basically blowing it back into the house. How many of you, I want you to test yourself here. If after you vacuum, maybe an hour or two later, you find you must dust, put one and one together here, okay? It's your vacuum cleaner that's creating this dust environment in your home. Go do yourself a favor and invest in a good, high-quality HEPA filter vacuum. Now listen, don't clean with sweeping, okay? Always use a wet mop, a wet dust cloth, or a HEPA vacuum. You're not distributing all of this accumulated dust and particulates and dust mites back into the air as long as you're not stirring it up, okay? So when we get back, I'm going to talk a little bit about what kind of filter you should be using and how often you should be changing it. Let's go up to Flagstaff and welcome Lance. Lance, we're actually going to be in Flagstaff next weekend at the Flagstaff Home Show. Looking forward to it.
Oh, hi there.
How can we help you, my friend?
Hi, okay, yeah, great show. I love it. I just turned it on when you started the show about talking about noises in church and stuff like that. And I said, oh, yeah, I agree with that. Because it happens. Up here in Flag, we're very dry.
Yes.
We get down to, I've seen it, 7% humidity in the summertime.
Yes.
Can you believe that? Anyhow, so I got an evaporative cooler on the house here. It's an older house. I do all kinds of stuff myself. And I've often thought, well, heck, you talked about it. And, you can see right through the pads, obviously. You know,
right.
The wood pads. Anyhow, you can see right through any kind you can. So why hasn't a manufacturer come up with a housing that can go on the front of your pad that could have an air filter like your house has that would filter out the air super sanitary?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it would be restrictive, but it would at least, if you don't have a real big home and you got a large cooler, you could at least filter the air out then, and it's better on the suction side than it would be on the outlet side, because it would be more volume.
Boy, Evap Cooling and Flagstaff were just made for each other, weren't they?
Oh, they are. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
It'll
listen,
freeze you out.
It will literally freeze you out in the middle of June, July. Now, the dilemma with doing a complete filtration with Evap Cooled air is that it's carrying so much moisture. So as the moisture is going through whatever filter you're asking it to go through, it's creating a hydrostatic pressure.
May I ask if you put the filter on the outside of the cooler on a housing, like a 2-inch thick housing that would have louvers on it, and then the air would be filtered through the filter first and then go into the evaporative side, the other cooler?
the dilemma with that, Lance, is if we would get a filter good enough to accomplish what we're trying to do, sucking in the outside air with the pine blossom y'all are about ready have here in about another 8 weeks,
it
would clog up so fast. It would become more of a maintenance issue than Here's what I'm going to recommend, and I'm telling you this isn't going to solve everything. But what a lot of my good friends do up in the White Mountains is they actually wrapped the outside of their evap cooler with cheesecloth. Then the air goes through the cheesecloth, gets to the wet pads, is cooled down, and is introduced to your house. That does a lot to eliminate a lot of the dust that comes into the house. But I have to warn you, Lance, about every, you know, I don't know how accessible your evap cooler is. If you're in one of those Flagstaff tri-level or three-story homes, it's way up there, or maybe it's a side draft, side mount. You need to hose off that cheesecloth about every day or so. In the height of the spring blossom, it could even be more often than that. So those are a couple tips I hope that helped. Evap cooling and the White Mountains and Flagstaff, they're made for each other. But you will be sucking in a lot of pollen and dust. More when we get back about indoor air quality at your house, home, castle, and cabin.